Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And I'd just like to read two verses, starting with verse 46. And Mary, that is, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour." Now I'd like to read a verse, please, in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary, this is Mary of Magdala this time, stood at the tomb, weeping without. As therefore she wept, she stooped down into the tomb, and beholds two angels sitting in white garments, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why dost thou weep?" She says to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Now, later on in the same chapter, verse 19, "When therefore it was evening on that day, which was the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were through fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and says to them, 'Peace be to you.' And having said this, he showed to them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced, therefore, having seen the Lord." Now, verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be to you.' Then he says to Thomas, 'Bring thy finger here and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Now my last scripture tonight is in the Song of Songs. That's on page 833. Song of Songs, chapter 3 and verse 3. "The watchmen that go about the city found me. Have ye seen him whom my soul loveth? Scarcely had I passed from them when I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go." These three scriptures that I've read in the Gospel speak of my Saviour, my Lord, and my Lord and my God. I want to speak tonight of the need of each one of us to have a personal link with Jesus as a Saviour and as a Lord. We start another year today. Who knows what the year may bring? None of us really does. Might have plenty of things that we hope it'll bring, but who knows? Even this afternoon, weren't we speaking together about a time when the judgment of God is going to come in upon this earth? Who knows? That could be before the end of 2017. Of course, it's the character of things in the world, isn't it, that they change. It's marked by uncertainty. That's the characteristic of the world that we live. Whether you look at it politically or financially or whatever way, there's uncertainty written over everything. But as we start another year, I couldn't help thinking that there's something that we each one need to be certain about. Doesn't matter whether we're old or young. Doesn't matter how well we know our Bible, though it's good to know it well. Doesn't even matter how many meetings we've attended, though it's good to attend them. But what matters is whether you've got a Saviour. I don't know the hearts of everyone here. I know everyone quite well. But when I look into my own heart sometimes, and I discover just how deceitful it can be. Heart of man, desperately wicked, and deceitful above all things. That's what the scripture says, and I'm no exception. So why should I think that anyone else is an exception to? No. Scripture makes it quite plain, doesn't it? That all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one righteous, not even one. Puts you and me right out of court straight away, doesn't it? And if it should be that during 2017... the door of mercy should close, would you have the certainty
of knowing that you belong to Jesus as your Saviour.
That's why the gospel's preached. And I just wanted to get this message across tonight. Because at the start of a year, there's lots of celebrations. There's lots of plans. And often the last thing that people are thinking of on the 1st of January
is the need of their soul and their need of a Saviour.
And I just wanted to remind everyone here tonight that Jesus is the one that you need at the start of this year. Not just for this year, but for as long as the Lord may leave you here, you need a Saviour.
And as the old hymn says, why would you risk the peril of a lost eternity?
I think for many of us who have enjoyed the readings in the book of Revelation over the past few weeks, it's brought home to us the reality of the coming of the Lord and of the judgment to come. Sometimes, you know, we can dismiss the chapters in Revelation. Perhaps they're a bit of a mystery to us. Perhaps we tend to skip over them. I used to. But when we consider them carefully and we see them as God's righteous judgment in relation to this world and the only way to avoid the wrath to come is by trusting in Jesus personally. There is no other way.
And the fact that that door will close soon, you know,
the hymn says, doesn't it, some guest will be the last.
Well, there's no problem with being the last as long as it's you. But you don't want to wait. You don't want to put it off. Just because you had an opportunity last week and you've got another one this week doesn't mean you'll have another one next. Time is coming for every one of us to have to do with God. And if you have to do with him tonight, you can have to do with him as a Saviour. And that's what I want you to do.
All here know that I trusted the Saviour many years ago. And it's a step that I took that I've never regretted. It's a step from which I've often turned back, like the prodigal son in Luke 15. But I thank God that the love of Jesus for me hasn't changed. And neither has it changed for you. His love is towards you, even though he looks into your hearts and looks into mine. And what does he see there?
Oh, friend, what does he see? But his love's unchanged, and that's the love that took him to Calvary. For Mary, the mother of Jesus, it wasn't the start of another year. It was the start of an era.
It was a change from the 4,000 years that had preceded, where the law applied and no one could keep it. It was the start of an era of divine grace, where God in his goodness was providing a Saviour for men. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Oh, that the name of Jesus might not just herald in 2017, but that it might ring in our hearts throughout the year. He's the centre of everything that is for God. Is he the centre for you? Mary, the mother of Jesus, says here, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. That's what I want you to be able to say by the end of the gospel tonight. That's what I'd like you to be able to say now. My Saviour.
It's not just the Saviour, you know. The gospel preacher can preach to you about the Saviour. He can preach to you about the cross at Calvary.
He can tell you of the love of Jesus that took him there when he gave his life so that you might live. He can tell you about the Saviour. But only you can make him my Saviour. And tonight, you know, the appeal of grace hasn't changed from the time that Jesus was here. And Mary, as recognising that God was working in a distinctive and wonderful way, could say, I rejoice in God, my Saviour. Well, tonight, you know, the gospel is presented to you so that you might know the blessing of trusting in Jesus and owning him as your own personal Saviour too. Then when you look ahead and you see the uncertainty and you see the chaos and you see the confusion, you can thank God because you've got an anchor for your soul. And your anchor's Christ. And he's the one who doesn't change because he's the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. He doesn't change, and neither does his love for you. Have you answered to his love yet? Have you responded to his call? Have you come to him in all your sin and own that before him you're a sinner and you need a Saviour? Just a little prayer that comes from the heart. Just a few words spoken is all it needs to accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Fundamental truths and verses from the Bible that give us the blessed assurance that Jesus can be yours even now. And you can come to him tonight. And you can know that in your heart, he's my Saviour. And I'd like you just to consider it very carefully. Because, you know, when Monday comes, and when the year starts to unfold, all sorts of things happen that take up our minds and our thoughts and our hearts with other things. And it's good as we start the year to make absolutely sure that Jesus is your Saviour. When we come to John's Gospel, I wanted to say a word about Mary of Magdala. Things had taken an awful change of events, or at least she thought so, in her eyes they had. For she'd known what it was to be with Jesus when he was here. I often wish I could have been alive then. But then, of course, I'd have had to live in Jerusalem, or Galilee, or somewhere like that to have seen the Lord. Now we can know the Lord wherever we are. He doesn't just save those in Jerusalem or in Palestine. His word has gone out to whosoever will. And that includes us in Worthing tonight. It's wonderful blessings, isn't it? But she had known what it was to be actually with the Lord. And he had become indispensable to her because she was a woman that the scripture describes as having seven demons. And when she came to Jesus, he cast those demons out. That is, that she came to the Saviour and her life of wickedness ceased. And she knew what it was to be able to say, my Saviour.
but she knew him when he was here. But then you think, the saviour that she'd found and loved was crucified. What that must have meant to her, you know, that upon which she'd come to rely, that which was so precious to her, that which had become everything to her, was gone in death. No wonder she wept. Here was a heart that was torn with sorrow. And how many hearts there are in the world today that are bereft. Persons seeking peace and cannot find it. Persons experiencing sorrows, particularly in other lands, and distress. We should feel these things because God feels them too. But here Mary of Magdala couldn't understand the change of events. Her Lord had been crucified. He'd been placed in a tomb, and she knew where it was. And all she wanted was to be with him where he was. And she comes to the tomb. And she finds the stone is rolled away. And the place where the body of Jesus had lain was empty. Except that there were two angels there. One at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say, well, why are you weeping? You can understand it, can't you? And what does she say? They've taken away my Lord. That's the next thing. My Lord. Is he Lord to you, this Saviour? Is he the one who governs your life? Have you committed your pathway to him? Are you entrusting him with everything? Lord, I don't know much about what 2017 is going to bring, but I want to commit my life to you. I want to trust you. I want to depend upon you. I want to do the things that you tell me to do. I want to be faithful to you in the scene of your absence. As the scripture says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Are you prepared to do that? Are you saying, he's my saviour, but is he your Lord? Are you doing the things that he loves you to do? Are you following the pathway of discipleship that the scripture suggests? That's what he said to Peter, you know, in the last chapter of John's Gospel. Follow me. He challenged him as to his love for him. He was wanting to be Peter's Lord and for Peter to be his disciple. Are you prepared for that pathway? My Lord. That was personal to Mary of Magdala. Is it personal to you? You often hear about the Lord, don't you? And the Lord Jesus. And how thankful we can be for every opportunity that we have to hear about him. But can you say, my Lord, like Mary of Magdala did? Why not have that personal link with him and know him as your Lord at the beginning of this year, and then make sure that he's your Lord throughout your life and you can be committed to him? When I come to the next part of John 20, it goes even a little farther. Because Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He couldn't believe the things that had happened. He couldn't understand.
He says emphatically, I will not believe unless I put my finger, what is it, into his side. Bring my finger, thy finger here, the Lord says, and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side. Are you prepared to reach out tonight in faith to Christ and trust in him? You see, the Lord says to him that it's something that he's got to do. Often in the gospel, we proclaim the news that everything has been done and that there's nothing for you to do, but that's not quite right. You need to believe. You need to come in true repentance to the Saviour. But Jesus says to Thomas here, you bring your finger and you see my hands. Those hands into which those nails held him to the cross at Calvary. Those nails that were the mark of man's hatred. Those nails that were the demonstration of God's wonderful love that he allowed his son to be given for you. God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. What a saviour we have, you know. No wonder Thomas could say, my Lord and my God. But then he's told to bring thy hand and put it into my side. Oh, that riven side. The soldier pierced his side, and therewith flowed forth blood and water. The redemptive power of the precious blood of Jesus that's there as before God to wash away every sin of everyone that believes in him. The completeness of the precious work of Jesus that tonight avails for you if only you'll come and trust him. Can you say, my Lord and my God? It's wonderful, you know, that God has acted from his own side. It's nothing that you or I have done. The work has been completed at Calvary. Mighty work that God, he even thought of it, you know, before the worlds were formed, before you were born and I was born. The way of salvation was opened up. Now it's for your acceptance, so that you might know what it is to trust this Saviour God and to be able to say from your heart, my Saviour, my Lord, and my God. Just finally, the verse in the Song of Songs. A verse that has often attracted me. What a comfort it is, you know, when we discover that we've strayed away from his love. When, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, we've gone a distance and our hearts have become cold. We've been taken up with the things, perhaps, of this world. And you realize how empty it all is. And God and his love is just the same towards you, waiting for you to return. And you come back to this one who's your Saviour and your Lord and your God. And when you find him, you declare, like the spouse here, I held him and I would not let him go. Somehow those words are so simple. But they strike a chord in my heart, for many a time I have had to return in repentance to my Saviour and held him and would not let him go. Oh, that Christ might become indispensable to you, not only for the year ahead, but for as long as the Lord might leave us here. May we be able to say from our hearts, I held him and I would not let him go.
Oh, the precious name of Jesus and his love. My glorious Saviour, who died upon Calvary's cross. May we hold fast to him and know what it is to have in him an anchor for our souls amidst the changing scene around us. The one who changes not and never will. Soon this one to whom we cling is going to come. The scripture tells us about it in some detail in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And when he comes, he's going to take to him everyone who knows him as my Saviour. But when he comes, what joy he'll find to take to himself those who also know him as my Lord and my God. Because that's who he is. The blessed Son of God is going to come in a quickly coming day. Maybe this year, this month, this week, maybe today. He'll come and he'll be taking to himself everyone who's owned him as my Saviour. And tonight I invite you to come, and God invites you to come, that you might have this personal link with him and trust him and have the joy of knowing that you're saved for time and for eternity. Well, may God bless the word for his name's sake.